Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Yes, today we're joined by Glenn's Vodka Scottish Premiership Manager of the Month for March, Tony Docherty. How are you, mate?
I'm good, mate. Thank you.
And
good.
Put it on camera, top man as well.
Thanks, mate.
Last time I seen you, I was steaming in a park.
Camberdown Park. You were steaming, aye.
But we ended up getting off each other that day,
didn't we?
Were you so at a music festival with the miss, isn't it?
I was, mate, aye. I did a wee bit of that as well. Aye, it was good.
That's what I like about you, mate.
You like that day? Good, mate. Good.
I know a lot of people know you're actually, you've stayed in Dundee for what?
I've stayed in Broughty Ferry for 19 years now.
Like how you're classing Broughty Ferry as a different thing to Dundee.
So you're a Dundonian.
I'm a Dundonian, mate.
No, but I first moved, I actually moved up here. Ian McCall was the manager, I came up here, and I moved to Perth first, because I'm an East Kilbride boy, I'm a Glasgow boy. And I moved to Perth, but I didn't quite settle. And Big Chiz used to stay in Broughty Ferry, Big Gordon Chisholm. And he says to me, no, don't get yourself up. So I came up, my daughter wasn't born yet. She's 18 in a month, and I've been up all that time. Wow. Well, I moved, obviously I moved when I went to Bristol. I rented the house out. I've moved a couple of times within Broughty Ferry, but no, I love it here, mate. It's a brilliant place.
I don't really care about football, mate. Oh, I'm interested in favourite bar or nightclub in Dundee, Fat Sam's back in the day.
I don't do it, nah.
You must have been in Fat Sam's a couple of times.
Nah. I'll take the Fifth Amendment on that one. But I was, but I like, no, Ferry's got some brilliant pubs. Fisherman's my pub, I like the Fisherman's. I like Royal Arch. It's a good Sunday place. I like it. I'm an old guy now, mate. I don't go as often as I used to.
Charlie Miller, he's barred for every.
I think Charlie was bad. I think Charlie holds your record. I think he was barred for every pub in Broughty Ferry at one stage.
What a boy, mate! Unbelievable. Yeah. As you said, March, mate. What a one, and it actually started. You getting beat 7-1 for Celtic.
Do you know what? It probably says a lot about the players. You know, 28th of February we played Celtic, we went into Celtic. We've probably had two anomalies this season, you know that? And one of them was that night Celtic. I don't know if you heard the story, our bus broke down on the way there. It was just a bad night, you know, we're 6-0 down at half time. I go in at half time, and as I always do at half time, I go in early to get myself ready. But at that time, I was going in looking for the old escape to victory tunnel at the stadium. But it's no nice when you look up at that scoreboard and it says 6-0, but testament to what I've got here and what I've built here, you know, we drew one each second half, Michael Mellon scored, and I did come out on record saying then that our season wouldn't be defined by playing the Old Firm. What it would be defined is our reaction to it. And the reason you're here, Si, to be honest, is because manager of the month, I won that because of the players' displays. We had a couple of meetings after that, and our next three games, which were the month of March, we drew two each. We caught Killy, who are flying, obviously. They scored their last minute equaliser. We beat Aberdeen and we beat St Johnstone, and they were the three games that is the reason you're here, winning manager of the month. And I think that just speaks volumes about what I've got here. You've just been in the dressing room and seen them. We've built a real kind of mentality and a resilience, and that typifies it. You know, there's not a lot of teams would come back for that. It's a chasing and defeat, that. But the reaction that the boys showed and the three games we had in the month of March, as I say, is the reason why you're here, and it speaks volumes about what I've got in that dressing room.
Just wanted to click on to something you said and ask you as a first year as a manager, see when it's coming like 10 minutes before the end of the game, are you thinking, what do I say to the boys in here? Do I go and read the riot act? Do I go in and I'm a soft with them? How did you work that out in your head, how to be with them?
I think you get a feeling for your group, and again, it's doing the experience. I mean, prior to me getting this job, you know how I worked 15 years with Derek, you know, and what a fantastic manager Derek is, and he's still doing it, he'll continue to do it. I've also worked with Gordon Strachan, Craig Levein, so you get experience, and and you know your group, and you think you kind of hopefully empathise with them a wee bit and think, what do they need now? Do they need me to go in at 6-0 and give them, how bad are they feeling? You know, they need a bit of support and they need, but it works both ways, you know, and it's getting to know your squad and getting to know your players, and I think you know what they need at certain stages, you know, because you know the characters and the personalities you've got in the changing room. So I think all of that, to be honest, it comes down to experience, but you only get experience of being a manager. I mean, I've been assistant manager for a long, long time, and again, as I say, working under a really good manager, but it's different when you're the manager, do you know what I mean? Because you're the one that's giving the message.
Is that the hardest part, Tony? The one that's the first one to speak to the players, like after games, before games, it's your voice. Is that the hardest part?
I wouldn't say hardest part, but it's the most different part. You know, yeah. There's loads different about being a manager and being an assistant manager, which I've found out and which I've got huge respect now, even probably even more so for Derek, you know, for having done it for 15 years at the intensity that the job demands, you know what I mean? But that's one big change, you know, but it's came about, and I've really enjoyed it. I've really enjoyed it. I think sometimes you could either, you know what it's like, you either swim or you sink, do you know what I mean? But you need to be put into these situations. But I think I've got the experience having, again, really get it, having worked with good people with good experience to see how they done it and what you could pick up for them and how you could then become your own person, but taking different bits for people that you've worked with.
You said it's a good squad. Who are the characters in the team?
Well, there's a few we look, as you met, looks
my, double wide, isn't he?
Double wide. But I've got a wee leadership group in there, and he's my wee social guy. He's wee social Bob. So he'll do that.
He's like wee eyes if he's still getting me looking.
Nothing goes by him. Everything comes into my room. He likes a wee sit down and tell me what's happening. Wee Tiff, you know what wee Tiff's like? John McCracken's quite lively. Big Joe. Big Joe's a brilliant captain. You know Joe.
Sure, yeah.
Brilliant. But it's just a really good blend, because some of the ones that you've actually played with, your wee Lyle Cameron's, Finn Roberts, Josh Mullins, there's a really good group of young, really talented boys, but there's also a brilliant group of senior pros, like your Ricky Lammies and Joe Shaughnessy's, Trevor Carson's, Curtis Mains. So it's a good mix. It's a good dressing room, and I've been in dressing rooms for 30 years, do you know what I mean? And that's a good dressing room, and you've just seen it, you know, the wee bit that you did in there, but I see it more than, I don't think a good dressing room is just all about getting on with each other and socially. It's on the pitch. And that wee story that we spoke about, what happened about our reaction to a 7-1 defeat at Celtic Park, I think speaks volumes of what the dressing room is.
You've got a good dark story about Greg Stewart, who was my ex-teammate at Dundee as well.
Oh, great. Yes, Aberdeen, that's right, Aberdeen. Greg was a good player. You played with Greg, right?
Yeah,
he was a fucking better darts player than he was a football
looks
player.
Looks like a darts player, didn't he?
He spends a lot of time in that pub in Fallon. But anyway, he's a good darts player. I mean, he came in the door, you know, I got on really well with Greg, going well with proper darts player, seen half everybody, and I'm saying, fuck, nobody's going to beat him. And he says to me, Doc, there's nobody at this club will beat me. I says, no, there's somebody, I'll find somebody, I'll find one person that'll beat you. He says, I'm telling you, 50 quid. I says, right, okay, 50 quid. So I've got it in my head, I need to win this bet. So I know the stadium manager, Paul Henry, up at Aberdeen, he's really good friends with the big boy, John Henderson.
Right.
You know, the Highlander?
Yeah, yeah.
So I've said to Paul, this Greg Shure's got me in toast. I says, I need somebody to beat him. He says, leave it with me. So he's went and spoke with the big boy John Henderson, right, and told him, he says he's a steward, so put on a steward bib for the Aberdeen Football Club, and I'll bring him in to play Greg. So anyway, I've kind of set all this up. Greg's just popping everybody, beating everybody, and I've said to him, by the way, I've got somebody that'll beat you at 50 quid. He says, bring it on, any time, Doc, bring it on. So I've arranged the big boy John Henderson to come in. Now the night before, this is gospel, asking the boys, the night before Big Hendo beat Van Gerwen in the Aberdeen Exhibition Centre.
Wow.
So I've got him coming into Pataudry, into Players Lounge on a Friday. All the players know about it, wee Jacko and Kenny McLean and all your boys, they all know what's happening. So we're all sitting in the Players Lounge at Aberdeen, and I says, right, you ready? I've got somebody who's going to beat you. All right, bring it on. So the music, I get the boys putting it, da, 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 da. And in walks a big boy, Henderson, and you know what, he's a big, big lad, do you know what I mean? Walks in and he's got it's ripping out him, he's got the steward's thing on with the Aberdeen. Right, you take him on. So he comes in and Greg,
does Greg recognise it's him?
Oh, of course, away, he's a huge fan. What I didn't realise, but his Big Hendo he'd just beat Van Gerwen the night before, and he'd been on it all night with his pals, a big Aberdeen fan.
Right.
So he was up in the Aberdeen Exhibition Centre. So see when he came in, he was actually the Charlie Drakes.
Was he shiny?
I'm thinking, he's going to beat him.
Tell me, anyway,
he comes in. Well, they play best of three, and I think, by memory, I think he beat him 2-1, Big Hendo. But to be fair, Greg gave him a game, but I just 50 quid.
Brilliant.
beat him. But no, Greg was a brilliant dressing room, and that was just one of the kind of examples that just wee things you get to get a dressing room going. But that was a,
by the way, 50 quid's not a Greg shirt now, mate, after that India stint.
Very true.
I know you're saying about like players make dressing rooms, but you and Dell build the dressing rooms. How important is that, the character in a player, before you sign them? Because your recruitment's been excellent this year. How much did you look at the person more than just the player?
I think that's hugely important. Of course you look at, you know, technical, tactical thing about a player, but it's football players are no different. You know yourself, Seth, they're no different from normal people. You know, they're built, you've got a talent. Only maybe 2% of populations get your talent, but if you put the right people in a dressing room together that can have a relationship, because that's what it is, it's getting relationships in dressing rooms. So we're big on that. I know, always been big on that, and with Derek and other people I've worked with as well, that it's not necessarily always about the football, it's about the one that you're bringing in a dressing room, and make sure that there is the relationships that are going to get you through tough times and are robust enough to see it through a season. So that's a big part of the recruitment, that making sure that, yes, you bring in a good player, but you bring in the right one, the right type, I would say, in the dressing room. And yeah, I'm massive on that, and I've always been, and as I say to you, with experience, particularly working for that 15-year period with Dell, it was always about that. It was always at bringing in good footballers, but good people and good types.
I wanted to ask you as well, because we never done it, I heard a little rumour that you've made everyone move up to Dundee, is that right?
Try my best. A wee tiff tell you that, didn't
I? Why is that? Could just simply for the travelling, or is it for them to stay here longer? Be
I think
together?
It makes you. I think I know for experience, you know, that travelling it can affect your training. There's no doubt about it. It can affect your preparation. I think you need to, in this day and age, you know what it's like. And I say to all the players when they come in here, I've tried to build a kind of culture here that everybody, when you walk in the front door, by the time you leave that day, you've learned something or you get better at something. You know, and that's our job as a staff. That's my job as manager. But to commit to that, I think you need to commit. You know, I need to, the thought of having a 2.5 hour drive, it's in your head, but doing that 2.5 hour drive, so it might stop you doing your extra half hour in the gym.
I used to do it at the time.
Or doing your extra half hour on free kicks or whatever. Do you know what I mean? So I think to commit to anything, you know, you really need to put the time in. It's like everything, any industry you need to do, you need to put the time in. And if you're spending more time in your car than you could be in the training ground, then of course that's going to affect your preparation and you becoming as good a professional as you can be. So I know we made a joke about it, but I do think it's important. And I do, listen, you can't dictate with the money that you pay that people do that. But you like, again, speak to the people that you're signing. You know, first of all, you sign them because you know they want to get better. So you're saying, well, to get better, you need to commit to it and you need to make sure that every day you're putting as much as you can into that. And that is a factor.
And big Curtis Main got a job as a bouncer on the door at Cassie as well, so that's brilliant. Isn't it? Some size, a big man, isn't he?
Oh, he's a big boy. He's a big boy. That.
I need to ask you before we go into the serious stuff. Is my name? I was actually shouting myself coming up here after my stint at Dundee. Am I still spoken about?
You're all right, mate. You're a legend up here.
Thanks,
you're all
mate.
Right. You're fine.
I'm honestly, mate, see if I could.
In the places saying I know Si Ferry.
See if I could have replicated my form in Fat Sam's on the pitch, mate. I'd have been a fucking hero here. Believe me.
100%. I heard that.
For all the good times, mate, there was that Rangers game. What was that like? Working through that kind of media frenzy at that time.
What won the
cancelled games and all that?
Oh, listen, that is what it is, and I can only, and everything I've said about all that, you know, I can't speak about other areas. I can only speak about my role as a football manager, and my role as a football manager is to prepare a team, you know. And listen, it's hugely disruptive for me and all when games get cancelled, because you know yourself, you prepare your training all that week, you prepare the team in terms of personnel, your tactics, your game plan, and if it gets called off, it's on to the next game. So it disrupts you because you're on to the next one. But the important bit of my job is to make sure that there's a focus there, that the players are focused in each game. And that was difficult in that period. But I think, again, like we said about the Celtic game, you know, huge testament to the players and the professionalism that they just got on with it. It's my job, the staff's job, to make sure they're really focused in the job. But it's their job to carry out that and show the focus. And I think they did that. When you seen the game, I thought they were... We just did a debrief on it earlier and I thought they were excellent in that game, you know, and they carried out a lot of instruction and that demanded a lot of focus for them.
I really like how you've played, mate. And again, I'm not just saying that because you're sitting here, if you've ever watched the podcast, you've been really, we've talked yous up a lot this year. What I did want to say is about the style of play.
Aye.
And I like to ask managers, I think I've asked Dale before as well, did you have a style in your head of what you wanted to play before you came here, or did you have a look at the group once you got here and then decide how you were going to play with them?
See, I was really fortunate, and it's well documented. When I get in here, and the reason it really appealed to me in this job, when I met with Gordon, you know, and he kind of told me about the job, I only had three signed players. There was only three signed players here. So I could really then build a squad. Sometimes you come in and you're right, you probably need to adapt your playing style to what you got in the building. I was able to kind of bring in a squad that were going to play the style of play that I wanted to play. So, I mean, I've always loved that, kind of the way we went most. Although our squad is a bit adaptable, we've played back four, back three, but I like that type of style that, you know, centre-back stepping in, creating overloads in midfield, getting into the wee half-space runs, you call them, and, yeah, you know, a bit the way Ange Postecoglou's team's played, doing the size, and just having loads of energy and loads of movement. And that was one of the things I said about here, and even that you're Dundee, I wanted to put a team on the pitch that had that attractive style of play, because you've been here at Dundee, I think you can then get that relationship between the fans and the players. Because I think, having lived up here for a long time, it's a huge football city, I think I knew the fans would appreciate that style of play and they would buy into it. So it's then important that you try and, you know, work during the week to get on the Saturday that style of play coming across. And I'm glad, it's a bit of an honour to hear you saying that you're appreciative of your style, because people within the game, you know, you're a top player and you're now managing all that kind of stuff. So when other people,
can you just say that a wee,
I said, what I said is you'd have potential to be a top player if you hadn't kept me around sit fat Sam's all the time. But but for people in the industry to comment like that is a huge, you know, it's huge kudos and huge credibility. But that's what my attempt was always to get a playing style and try and put that on the pitch that I knew the fans would get excited about. And when you've got that, biggest thing about that is having energy, you know. And when you've got, as I said earlier on, your Lyle Camerons, Finn Robertsons, Josh Mulligans, you know, your own Beck at times, energy, McCowan, punters love that, you know. So I think the team have done great, you know, in terms of they've been brave. I've asked them all the time. There's been certain games we've been into and I've been unhappy. When I've been really unhappy on was when they've not been brave.
What do you remember, a specific game?
I remember probably going up. I probably remember the first half when we played Aberdeen at Pittodrie. This is one that's just come into my mind. There's been other ones when I thought we went up there and we had a wee look at the opposition. We weren't brave in terms of the way we wanted to play, and I had a wee go at second half. We were brilliant. And I've always said that to them. If we lose games being brave, I'd much rather have that than being a bit conservative and having regrets at the end of the game.
Love that.
So, but testament to the players, that's all right, me saying that, you know, and my staff saying that. They're the ones that, you know, yourself, over at White, it's you that's making the decision on the ball, it's you that's making the run, you that's displaying the energy and all that kind of stuff. So that's why I would give all the credit to them.
Because for all the good football as well, you've also got that physicality with your defenders, Shaughnessy, and then you've got your midfielders with, like you said, Silla, Boateng, and the big boy Bakayoko up front. So it's a great mixture you've got about the team. How important are they to see, like, the Shaughnessys and the Carsons, the experience to go along with the McCowans and the Camerons?
Huge, absolutely huge. Because as I said that, I knew it's about getting the blend right now.
Yeah.
I knew coming in here with your Camerons, Mulligans, Robertsons, Beck, all these boys that you add into that, Donnelly, all these boys, they're still young. They're really young. And as much as myself and Stan can put forward that message, you know, when we walk out the room, you know, and we always had this, I remember working with Derek as well, when we had really good pros way, way back, like your Jody Morris's, Michael Dubry's and all that. When you walk out the room, you need to know that message is getting carried on. Brilliant. So you need to have the right types. So my first signing was Joe Shaughnessy. I had Joe as a kid at Aberdeen. And as a person, Joe's top drawer, as a captain, nobody better. And so I knew, for example, with Joe Shaughnessy, I knew what I was going to get for Joe every day. And then your Trevor Carson, you add to that, and your Curtis's, you add to that, Ricky Lammy's, Jordan McGee's, Lee Ashcroft. I know when I walk out the door, when I've imparted that message to the players, they're carrying it on. And they won't let young players, know that there are any here, they won't take shortcuts with their boys, their senior pros, because they've come up the right way and they know what you need to put in every day. So I know it's getting carried on when I go out the room, but, and I know that there's a kind of, the buzzword is culture, but it's just senior pros making sure that the clubs run right and things are done properly. And that's where there's a real degree of professionalism, but also, you know, an enjoyment. I think in our industry, some people forget, you need to enjoy it. You need to come every day. And I bounce in here every day. I can't wait.
Best job in the world, mate, isn't it?
I can't wait to get my work. Well, you're doing it. You love it. I can't wait to get to my work. And I want all my players to feel that as well. You know, I don't want anybody to think, oh, training them. And you need to create that environment. I think you need to create that culture. And that's what we're trying to do here. And you've just been in and seen it. And if you can get that, you know, you're halfway there. Obviously, it's about recruitment and good players and being able to play a certain way, but they need to enjoy their job.
And the setup in here is incredible. Last one on the squad, I need to ask, how did Beck come about? How was it, a lucky find? Was it somebody that, you know, at Liverpool?
Well, it was a bit of that. It was a bit of that. But you know, Willow's my agent, wee Willow Flood,
great
as well.
Guy.
So Willow's a top boy. I've known Willow for years. But just contacts that you established in the game, you know, there's different ones like Nottingham Forest and Liverpool. So yeah, we looked a lot at Owen Betting. We looked at his circumstances. You know, Owen had two loans prior to this, one that he came to Dundee.
Whereabouts,
so,
Tony, do you know?
He went to Bolton, was one of them, and never worked for him because I think physicality, whatever. And he went to, it's a Dutch club, I want to say, I'll get back to you on that, but it was a Dutch club. But anyway, the two loans didn't work out.
So it was a bit of risk for you then?
Aye, but I think for him as well. And I remember having the conversations because, you know, it's like, see, when you're recruiting a young player just now, it's crazy for when it was back. It's all done through Zoom calls and all that, and you set up the meetings because you're not doing it for yourself.
So you're sitting on a Zoom with Owen Beck?
Owen Beck and his representatives and Liverpool's representatives and myself and Stan and Gordon, and it's like sitting and doing a presentation, but you're obviously trying to sell to him what your club's got and how it's going to benefit. I've did the same with all, you know, Crystal Palace, Boateng and Nottingham Forest, Aaron Donnelly this year, all of them. But Beck, Owen was one of the ones that you watch. There wasn't a lot of footage in Beck, so it was a wee bit of a gamble. But speaking to people within the game at Liverpool or people down south that have watched them, people in Wales, people that I trust, you know, had said to me, no, I think this is worth the risk. But then it comes down to, and I think it was after about three or four Zoom calls or whatever, when you really get to know, and I got to know Owen as well as I did, and I could feel from that level of commitment that he knew that this was a big loan for him. Mm. You know, his two previous ones hadn't worked out for whatever reasons. This is one that he really had to commit to. So then I remember when I met him and I talked about the style of play and how I wanted him to play in the team and what his strengths were and his characteristics and how he could become a top player in the SPL. And we had a wee kind of objective between the two is that, you know, we wanted obviously the team to be successful, but for us, for him to get in the SPFL team of the year, that was the objective for this year. And to do that, he had to demonstrate everything that he had as a player. I mean, he's very Andy Robertson when you've seen him. Mm. First time I seen him, I thought, wow. And I know Andy obviously hadn't worked with him in Scotland and all that. And if he brought all that to the Scottish Premier League, then it would do really, really well. So he showed that level of commitment to me, you know, and after the initial meetings that we had, and I thought, no, this is definitely worth doing. And I remember we went to Ireland pre-season.
There's a guy that sacked me for here, right, John? Best decision he made.
So I remember we went to Ireland, you know, with the squad pre-season, and Bex came over to that trip there. And I remember the first game we played was it was it Larne or something? Bray Wanderers, and he played in that game there. And if you get a video,
do you get that wee feeling?
That's what it is, a feeling. He played at left back, wee Finn Robertson played ahead of him, and wow, he just blew everybody away. And I know it was a pre-season game, but there's just a feeling that you get. And then from then on, it was just, but a testament to him, what I would say to him is, he committed 100% to the loan, you know. And when you do, whenever I've worked with really the top players, you know, that I've worked with, you know, Ryan Christie's and Scott McKenna's, boys like that, you know, they commit 100% to everything, and that's Owen. You know, see whether it was a gym session, whether it was five-a-sides, whether it was up head tennis, he's all in.
Yeah.
And he was all in with this move here. And with him showing that level of commitment and with the ability he's got and everything that he displayed, it was always going to work. I always had a good feeling about it for that game then. And listen, we just got word the other day there. He phoned me, actually. We were on our golf day with the boys. I took him out to golf day with Drumoig. And I got a phone call, wee Bex here, he's here, because he's obviously down at Liverpool. And he says, Gaffer, just to let you know, I've just had a phone call to the PFA, Craig Beattie, and he's just told me I've got in the team of the year. So that was a moment.
Amazing.
That was a moment, you know. But listen, again, I would say all the credit goes to him, because he, for all the good player he is, he wasn't in that place, you know, but he came in here and he committed to us, he committed to myself, and listen, this guy's a limit.
Do you think he could get to Christie and McKenna type heights?
Oh, aye.
Definitely.
I think he could. I mean, Liverpool took him back in January, and they had, he played for them, and they had intentions of putting him in the team. Yeah. You know, and you look at the level of competition there, and as I say, when you look at the way Andy plays that left back role,
similar.
He's a prototype of that. Do you know what I mean? But he knew what he had to do here, and I would say that about Missouri. He worked a lot, bulking up his upper body and all that. But again, that goes down to that commitment. But no, top boy, you'd love him. Top boy.
So you set individuals' targets. Did you set the team a target? But once you got them all, they get all assembled. And was it just to stay in the league?
I did set targets. That's something, there's a lot of that I'd keep internal, you know, because you know yourself, you don't want to put everything out there. But we did, as a group at the start of the season, I brought in external people as well, you know, just to, you know.
What does that mean, people from outside the club, obviously?
Aye, I brought in different bodies. I brought in a guy I know from the Marines to have a chat with the boys. And it wasn't done in a way that, you know, it's just all about, I mean, that's the best team, you know, in terms of they look out for one another on a survival basis, you know what I mean? So if I could get a wee insight of that, you know, for a team, newly promoted team all coming up, a new group coming together, make sure they could create that bond between them, then I think we did that, you know, and I think we formed a real kind of strong bond between the boys. As I say, there's a wee kind of leadership group within that with the senior ones, but with the younger ones as well. And for then, we kind of sat ourselves as a group and we agreed objectives, you know, from the group, mm-hmm. you know, what a season's going to be like. But I'll keep them to ourselves, you know, but it was part of a process that is building a team that, you know, and yeah, it's agreed objectives. It's not for me, it's for within. And we did have objectives and we've ticked off most of them this season that I'm really pleased with. And we've still got a bit to go, but hopefully we can get to the next level.
Yeah, it's quite common now for the blocks that managers work in blocks. Are you the same? I think Dills, when he was on here, he said he'd done it. So you'll do like a quarter. You'll put an estimate of how many points you should get per quarter, that's a
thing you do. I didn't do that with players. No, I didn't do that with players. But we did have objectives. For example, I wanted to get 10 wins under the belt as quick as I could. I wanted to get 10 clean sheets as quick as we could. So obviously the main objective at the start, as you know, as a newly promoted team, was achieving that objective of staying up. So that was the primary focus, getting that. But there's also things within that as well. But make sure that your daily routine's good, you know, and that training's good. Train at a high standard every single day. And if these objectives they're agreed, and they're not just for me, if they're agreed within the group, then they become more realistic.
You said you started off with Dale. How did that come about? That's 15 years. You said you worked with him. So is it Dundee United? Am I right?
It's Dundee United. Aye.
So you're a coach.
I was first team coach at Dundee United because I came up. That's the reason I came up here. With Ian McCall, I'd been at Falkirk. I just came from when I went up to the SFA and I went into Falkirk under Alec Totten and wee Crunchy.
Yeah, what a player he was.
Outstanding. Oh, so it was good for me when I came at that time because Alec Totten and Alec was brilliant. Learned so much from him, you're old school. But Crunchy played, so I really take me to training, you know, when I'm in my first role. I think I'd have been about, because I finished early, you know, I think I'd have been about 28, 29.
God, that's quite daunting, that.
It was, and it was a dressing room of Scott Crabbe and Davey Moss and Chris McCartan and all these boys. So you had to be good. You had to be decent. You had to be decent taking training and all that. So, and then after Alec Totten left, Ian McCall came in, if you remember that period, and that was a dressing room.
Owen Samuel and that, wasn't it? Was that time?
That was Owen Coyle, Yogi.
Wow.
Zippy, Scott McKenzie, Colin Samuel, Big Lee Miller. That was a proper dressing room, that. So we get real success with that group of players as well. And then Coley got the Dundee United job. Remember
just
that
how was Yogi?
Oh, different class.
Was
Yogi,
he?
Brilliant.
Funny. Challenging for you as a coach?
Your story's not. No. Exact opposite. Couldn't have been more. Because I'm younger than him, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm on the training field. But Chiz and Coley. Coley was a player there, obviously, as well. But couldn't have been better in that way. Do you know what I mean? Couldn't have been more kind of understanding, that's not the right word, but just a great guy, just really brilliant professional, Big Yogi, absolutely brilliant professional. I think people don't see that side of him as well, but it was a good dressing room, that one. But again, going back to what you were saying about dressing rooms, you just came out of there, that's your background there. Coley was brilliant at building a dressing room, different. I mean, he had a dressing room, I mean, Yogi was his mate, you know what I mean? Coley was his mate, and he was the first one, and I still do it now, and so does Dell and all that, when we did the vote on a Friday.
The worst player.
Brilliant. And you have to, back in the days, it was bringing the cakes. And that Coyley's diet was ridiculous. And that's how, if you've seen him now, he was always like that, but you're not that now. Because the vote would be, if you were voted the two worst players, it was bringing the cream cakes and the can of Coke. And you would sit on a Friday before the game on a Saturday, slagging whoever, but you would be eating your cream cake. But that was Coyley, you know, and I know Dell still does it, and I still do it. That's your Friday. But now with sports science, if you get the vote, you bring in foam burst.
Oh,
do you know what I mean?
The shower gel.
Seriously, because they'll not let you eat cream cakes. But it's still the same premise. You're still working on that basis of your Fridays
That's an expensive Friday for Cammy Kerr. I know he was did definitely
the boys,
be the Friday
the
smell Cammy
brilliant thanks to Cammy. But no, so that was so Coley then moved to Dundee United and he took me, Chesney, Coley up with him. And then Dale was the captain at West Brom at the time. Yeah. So he had a good squad of players. If you remember Coley, Eddie Thompson was the chairman at the time and they were, you know, budget was good. So he signed Dale from West Brom and Dale came up and I had known Dale previously. Playing and all, he was at Morton and I was still in it at the time or whatever. So I knew Dale through football, but I didn't know him as well as when he came up, and he came up and was a captain. And again, Dale was a, as you would imagine, he was a brilliant captain, you know. And
what a player as well, mate. Brilliant. Played against him in the reserves and he's done United later on in his career. Brilliant.
So he took that role, and obviously I was first team coach, and I was also at that stage taking the reserves and the youth team. So I was first team. So I think, you know, we just created that wee kind of bond, and there was that kind of understanding a wee bit that when he then went and got a job, I would go with him. So the first job, well, there was a couple of other opportunities before that, but the job came up at St Johnson and Coyler went down to Burnley and Dale came on and says, look, do you want to... At the time I was at Dundee United, we were doing really well under Craig Levein and Hoosty, getting to finals, cup finals, but the chance to go and work with Dale, taking over for Coyler was, what year was that, 2008. And the first year we went, we got to the semi-final Scottish Cup, but the next year, our first full year, we won promotion.
That's right.
And then it just went Bristol City, Aberdeen, So that was how we met. It was properly met at Dundee United when he got brought up for West Brom as a captain.
And he asked you when you took that St Johnson job, how good was Jody Morris?
Oh, what ridiculous. Just ridiculous.
The Doobie as well, were they good guys?
Brilliant guys.
Did they have big time shouts, but in a funny way?
Oh, they were, nah, nothing big time about them, but they were big, you know, they were big time. So they could just shut you like that. If you took them on, that would be you. Because they had proper stories. You know what I mean? We think would be good stories. Nah, these boys are good. But again, it goes back to the dressing room thing again. And that's a thing, it's a quality I've taken. Like obviously, for working with Dale as well, that dressing room, because he was best mates with Jody, and he brought Jody up into that dressing room. And there was already a good dressing room, because you'd be Pizzo and
good guy.
Chris Miller boys at that. But it took it another level, you know, when Jody and Dubs and all that came in, and that was a... fierce, big Killian Sheridan and all that. That was a fierce trip, but a brilliant, really competitive. And again, what I'm trying to get here, a real strong spirit, resilient group of boys, best of mates.
Yeah.
You know, and that goes a long way. But so that was a brilliant group. They were a brilliant group.
You take the boys down to London, Jody?
Oh, aye. I would look after the boys. After the boys. And listen, that's why Dale brought him. He knew that. Again, he knew that. Because he knew there was a new manager and all that, how successful he wanted to be. So it was never a fuck about, you know.
Yeah,
I mean, it was always
again, passing that message on.
It was always passing that message on to make sure you're doing it for the gaffer or whatever. And so that was that, but that was a brilliant dressing room. And again, as I say, it just carried on. And, you know, we'd success with that group. And then we were down to Bristol and we'd success here as well. And it came up with Aberdeen then, obviously, the 8 years that we had here. But all based on a good dressing room.
How did that relationship work? Was it bad cop? Good cop, bad cop, or not really that
really,
sort of thing?
No, I don't think there was, and I think if you need to think about it, there's a problem there. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? It just kind of worked. You know, Derek obviously when he started after, he was relatively new to, you know, it was his first manager's job, and I think he needed somebody in there that could first of all kind of take the training and help out with that, and that was kind of primarily my role. But listen, you work for 15 years, you evolve, you develop, and as I say, you've just at the start of interviews, I mean, Dale's a top manager, you know, and to be still working at the level he's working at and be the level he's at the now, and, you know, he's young, Dale, but he's been doing this for 15 years, and he's at another, I don't know how many years, but working at that top level and me being in it, seeing it just for a year, how demanding it is, hats off.
Did he let you speak after games? Because I'm an assistant now. See, when a manager speaks for 20 minutes, he goes, "You got anything to say?" And the boys are like, "Yeah."
See, that can be a hard bit, but no, always. I would normally always get the last word, but you know, say his bit. But that as an assistant, that's quite hard. Because when I'm ready, because Dale's so thorough, you know, when I'm ready to give my spiel on what I think was wrong, strikers weren't combining or we weren't rotating middle of the park. If he said all that, I'm like, oh. So I would actually when. Dale were going to speak, I would take a wee checklist of my own, knowing what I was going to say, and if he said it, bang, can he say that? Bang, can he say that? And there were occasions when he said everything and I would make something. No, I wouldn't make something up. But if you're comfortable in your relationship and you felt, I don't need to speak to you, then you don't. But if you still feel there's a message here and you'd always say, and I'm the same with Stan, if I miss anything here, you know, make sure. Because the most important bit in all of that is the player. You know, yourself as a player. And, you always pride yourself and always do as a manager, always did as an assistant manager working under Derek, that every player must know their job.
Yeah.
And if they don't, that's your responsibility, because as I said earlier on, you've got to make sure that your players are prepared, focused, ready for every eventuality in a game.
Would you disagree?
Oh, huge. I'd fight more if I'm not with my brother.
What would it usually be over selection?
Oh, no, again, you can't generalise. It would be, again, when you work for that amount of time, I think you need to be honest, you know,
yeah,
and give your opinion, you know, and that's what I value, and that's what I appreciate, and that's what I've carried on now that I've got my, I don't like calling Stan my assistant, my colleague, you know, that I want to be challenged as well. I don't get everything right. There's no way. And I think you need to be that. If it's like anything, you'll be the same with your, well, I hope you're the same with your assistant.
Aye, definitely.
Whoever you brought in, you trust. You know, you brought him in because you think, no, he can help me. At the end of the day, you want to be successful. So you bring in somebody that you trust. So I think it's all based on that. And I think if you're comfortable in the relationship, you won't hold anything back. You'll say what you think's important for the team.
Do you think it helps that your assistant manager's also been a manager?
Aye.
He was at Hamilton, wasn't he? He was a Hamilton manager.
It was, but he's also, Stan's got brilliant experience. Stan was always Paul Lambert's assistant.
That's right.
Down south. So Stan's brilliant. Stan's got really, really good experience. And he knows, as you said, he's been a manager. He knows how it helped me, to take things off and all that. There's brilliant stuff in there. I've got big Scotty as well, Scotty Patterson, who does a fantastic job, really good job. I've got Matty Castle as the analyst, who, top draw, really top draw. And Alan Combe, goalie coach. So there's a good kind of energy synergy about us all. You know, it's a good group, you know, I enjoy working with them. But I think it does help the fact that, to answer your question, that Stan's been a manager, I think he understands.
Do you think the job's got a wee bit easier? I know it's had the hardest job in the world, but because there's so many.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
People now helping you, like, see when you and Del would have started it, probably they'd just been used to doing everything again, but now you've got an analysis.
Yeah. I remember when we were first St John's, I remember I'd sit up all night with the wee laptop doing your analysis work, you know what I mean, which would be tagging stuff and all that, and that's what we called it today. And how much has moved on for now? Aye, it is. I mean, you've got more resources to do more, do you know what I mean, but players' demands are more now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, you know, as a player now, it's all about sports science and analysis, and so you need that resource, you know, to get the best out of your team, because if you're not doing that, every other team is. So does it make it easier? You still need to manage all that, you know. It's important that everybody knows their job, knows their place, and the most important bit is they need to know what they're doing. The players are the most important bit of this.
Yeah.
So everybody to know their role within that, that's the kind of management of it. But whether it makes it, it certainly makes it, when you've got the resources, you know, but it's all relative, isn't it? I mean, you look at a Premiership Liverpool compared to the resources that we've got here, our resources maybe compared to, well, I don't know, East Kilbride,
I know, we've probably got more than you, mate.
I know, that's probably
10 analysts. Have you found yourself doing less coaching now that you're a manager compared to what you did when you were an assistant?
Probably.
But was that still a conscious decision?
No, it's because I trust the staff underneath me to do it, you know, and I think that's what was maybe apparent when I worked with Derek as well. I trust that if I can say to them, you know, for example, we meet every morning, have a staff meeting, say, what is it we want to do? I'll design that, you know, in terms of if I want to look at shaping or something like that. But before that, Scotty and Stan, I'll say, you know, their possession, you know, and what we're looking to get out of it,
mm-hmm.
Move that on to cross and finishing. And then I'll always come in and take a part, you know, which is probably the
shape or the
functional stuff, like, you know what I mean? But I do find, you know, I'm no, because I would always be first up doing the boxes with the boys, and I still join in, even though I'm you still join in because I think the boys get a wee bit for that as well. The boys love taking the piss at you, do you know what I mean? So if you're in a box and they've got you running about, they love it. So you've got to keep that relationship with them as well. So probably doing less coaching, less in and getting involved with the boys, although I do still take them up at Heed Tennis and murder
them.
I'm still the best player at the club.
I can believe it.
So you still try to do that, but within your management role. But listen, I'm only a year into it, so I'm still learning.
But you're cruising. Have you been nutmegged yet as a manager in the box?
A couple of things.
Who did it first? He's actually tried to do it, innit?
He's been
desperate to nutmeg.
That's how we became top man in there. He just went, "Here, have a bit of that."
And the dog go mad.
Mental.
Brilliant. See, on the assistant, when you were, obviously last year was the first time that you became a manager. Was there moments before that where you kind of thought, I would like to give this a go, but maybe came back to it a wee bit?
There always is, but I'm really comfortable being an assistant to such a good manager and a good friend, Derek, you know what I mean? I never really looked for it. I was never searching for, I want to be a manager, I'm desperate to be a manager. An opportunity came up, a couple of opportunities came up that were never really, I never really looked into them so much, but this opportunity came up at Dundee, and obviously with my relationship with Gordon and speaking with him, I just felt it was, I'm of an age now, when do you get that opportunity? Do you know what I mean? And when an opportunity came up for a newly promoted team, your first job in a Premiership job, too good an opportunity to pass up. But I need to stress it. I didn't do it because I wanted to become a manager or I'd reached the end with me and Derek working together. I loved it. Kilmarnock was a brilliant club. It was a brilliant time that, winning promotion with that team. That's a brilliant set of boys, as you know.
Yeah.
And it was all good. And I knew the way Kilmarnock went this season, I knew exactly that.
You could see that coming, could you?
Oh, absolutely. For all the hard work that went in, with Derek and Paul and now Archie's in. And I could see that coming. So it was just really kind of, and it was one of the things you kind of grab the nettle a wee bit and you go, do you know what? Aye, let's have a wee go at it. And fortunately, with the support I've had brilliant support for particularly Gordon, but, John as well. With the support that I've had and all the staff, I had to recruit my own staff as well. I only had three players, but I didn't. So I brought in Stan. I brought in a sports scientist.
Why did you pick Stan?
Again, because I just thought somebody that can really compliment me and somebody that's got the experience. Knowing that I'm going to get my first management job, as you said, he's been a manager. He's been a quite high profile assistant manager, but I knew how good he was as well. In terms of organised, really organised person. So I think I've been to enough of these courses, I've been experienced enough to know that can I bring in somebody that's going to compliment you, maybe be better at you at doing some things that you're no good at doing. So I knew I was bringing in somebody with a real competence level, do you know what I mean? And a good guy as well. He's a proper guy, Stan, He's good principles and all that. And so I brought in him, also brought in Robert Keelty. I don't know if you know Rab. Rab does the sports sciences, and I've known Rab for years. And just bringing in people that are good at their job, but are good, similar to players we spoke about earlier, good types,
good
type of people as well.
I like to know about this sort of insight. If you don't want to go into it, then it's fine, but when do you first, you just sit in your house one day and your phone rings and it's Gordon Strachan talking to you about the Dundee job, or how does it even come about?
The previous manager here had won the league, and then for whatever reason, unknown to me, he wasn't the manager anymore, so I knew they were looking for a manager, and then
did you apply?
Conversations. Who?
Do you apply for the job?
No, but conversations. Listen, I would speak to Gordon regularly anyway, because my relationship with Gordon, obviously with him bringing me into the Scotland setup, I've always kept in touch with him wherever I was working, and I'd regard him as a friend. So just kind of conversations went from there to there, And it just all of a sudden became something that, this is a kind of realistic proposition, and something I think is an opportunity I should probably look at. But again, it's something that, because I was so comfortable with Dale, because he's my mate and he's my, I speak with him about it, and he couldn't have been more supportive, absolutely.
Are you nervous telling him,
as he always
Doug?
Is a wee bit aye because it's a strong bond, it's a strong relationship, but couldn't have been better, and still even to this day couldn't have been more supportive, and he's always the one on the end of the phone if I need to pick it up. But it is, I'm a Premiership manager now and he's a Premiership manager. He's much more successful than me. He's got that European thing tied up already. It was something that you would involve him in just because of the relationship.
Just on Gordon, did you set it off straight away when you first met him? And was it through the Scotland national team?
Did he call you
up to be first team coach?
Aye, he called me into the squad. I think who did it been?
That must have been a great honour when he phoned Gordon. Oh, phoned you, I said that. Can you remember that phone call?
I remember he must have spoke with Dale first, because it was Dale took me in. I remember that. I was up at Aberdeen at the time. And he took me into the office and I wondered what he was wanting. He says, listen, do you fancy fancy a wee gig with Scotland. I went, what are you talking about? Scotland what? And he says, no, Gordon Strachan's been on the phone. And so we'd obviously spoke with Eric about it first, and aye, obviously I was, it's a brilliant opportunity to go and get involved with that. So but then obviously when I get into the, I met with Gordon as soon as I'd said to Dale, and Dale would approve, Aberdeen had approved it. So then I went and met with him in a hotel before they met up, and I just hit it off. He's a brilliant guy, and a great person.
Funny
and fit, but aye, you could be sitting for 5 hours and it seems like 5 minutes, and you just talk. So no, that was a huge part of it. But no, that was the kind of process it went through.
Again, a wee bit insight. Who was the top players at Scotland? Who impressed you when you went to Scotland too?
At that time, obviously, do you know what? Griffiths at that time was just ridiculous. Just ridiculous. And Craig Gordon, I would say the two of them. And I remember Griff used to always want to stay at the end of sessions. He would used to stay out. And listen, you'd been used to working with good players at your own club, you know what I mean, at Aberdeen and whatever. But somehow, the way he struck a ball, it was. And it would be big Craig in the goal, you know what I mean? So the two of them would be competing. And I remember standing back and, you know, you put on your wee finishing drills and all that, and you can enjoy getting into it. But at that thing, you're just going, that's proper. That's
it's top level.
That's top level. But listen, so many brilliant players. But that's one I remember thinking, the way he strikes a ball.
It's incredible. I've seen him train.
Good players. We Aberdeen. I remember James Wilson.
Was it Man United? He could hit a ball with his left foot.
Unbelievable. When I used to watch him in training, but I think Griff even was up a level probably for that, you know what I mean? Just the technique, the way he struck it, his free kicks and all that. So I would need to say that one, actually watching him, the way he struck a ball, and the accuracy and the power he got, and it was
incredible. Just the last bit on Dale, how was it managing against him? Were you a wee bit nervous before that as well?
I wouldn't say nervous. It was a bit weird. I mean, when you've worked with somebody for 15 years and you see them every day, you're then, and you know what he's like. You know, he's the most competitive animal you've ever met.
Inside that picture, huh?
And so I know what he's like, and he knows I've got that as well. So when you're against him, you know, you'll do anything to beat each other, as much as you're mate. You'll do anything to beat each other. We used to have days up in Aberdeen where we would, honestly, I'm talking 3-4 hours, where it would be head tennis, where it would be
against each other.
Well, it was always me and Oleg, me and Robbo, right, against him and Peanut. Jesus, I mean, some of the fights, because it was the most competitive.
Peanuts, Paul Sheeran, isn't it?
Paul Sheeran. So it was Paul Sheeran and Dale were partners, and me and Oleg were partners. And some of the game, doing in the bottom stand, we were hitting it off the pillars and all that, and proper sweat on, playing for 3 hours. So anyway, just I'm going away for it.
Who would usually win out of the, you and Robbo?
Oh, me and Robbo.
Would you say a better record, did you?
He'll come back.
He'll come back. Robson's good 20.
Oleg, ridiculous. He's got the hardest heat ever.
Ever, mate.
But he's the most competitive animal. But getting back to that, so I know that level of competition about him, you know what I mean, and how competitive. So there was a wee element of that playing against him, but it was a bit weird. But I mean, we've done it 3 times. Well, no, in the Scottish Cup game that they beat us as well. But is it 3-2 each? 3-2 each we've had in the league, so you can't kind of say it. But we've got them last game of the season, so we'll see how that one goes.
I asked him this as well. Did you need to change something that you always did because you knew that he would know that you did it?
Aye, there's a couple of wee things which I know. There are a couple of wee things that he knew, and he used to always slag me. You do that free kick all the time. I had to stop. Because they're sort of, listen, you don't work with somebody for that long and they'll pick up what they're kind of wee kind of quirky bits that they've got and all that as well. But
did you get a drink after the game?
Aye, come in with a wee drink and all that as well. So
I told a great story about you and him with Walter Smith. You beat Walter Smith on your first game against him?
Oh, aye,
and 4-3. Rangers would be raging, and he made the Rangers players wait on the bus, and he came and had a
brilliant
drink. Yes,
absolutely brilliant. And that's the making of man. Do you know what I mean? It was brilliant. That blew me away. That blew me away. I know it did. How close him and Derek were. And that, for me, that's really important in the game, and that's why I'm saying obviously I speak a lot about Derek here and the amount, you know, he's inspired me to be a manager, and all the other ones I mentioned as well, your Alec Tottens and Ian McCall's and all that, that's what it's all about. You know, for me, it's about good people. It's what you spoke about earlier on, about bringing into your dressing room, and that was just class that night. It was just absolute quality, because it was like teacher and pupil, do you know what I mean? And that night, we were brilliant that night against a proper Rangers team, and that was just Walter Smith being exactly what it was, an absolute class act. So that was good.
I never asked Dale this, but I should have. Have you got another night in particular that you've really fond memory with Dell? What's your favourite memory together?
So there's loads of nights we had, I mean, I've had to ring them all off, but I remember one night in particular, I think we played Dundee up at St Johnstone, and Kevin Bridges was playing at the Caird Hall, and we went to see Kevin Bridges, and he was staying at the, myself, Sharon Nicklin, and Dale went to see him, and he was staying at the Old Course. So we went from a, we went for the concert back to him and sat with him, sat up and had a night with him, and I can always remember, but this obviously is going to be, I think, oh yes, we're going to see, you've just watched a comedian who's the best. He's Billy Connolly, do you know what I mean? He's the funniest.
This when he was just coming up, like?
Aye, because him and Derek are tight, you know, aye. We know each other really well. So he invited us over to the Old Course, his kind of management and all that kind of stuff. And I just remember going back there and saying, yeah, we're going to spend the night with the comedian. But obviously, the last thing he wanted to do was entertain us. So he just wanted us to tell him. And I remember being so, that's not what I wanted. I wanted a joke. but that was a brilliant night. And that's one of the ones that was a brilliant night. That was a good, because I think we won that day. And then obviously went to the concert and then had the night with him after it at the Old Course as well. So, but the listeners, too many.
What about football and memories? Second place finishes with Aberdeen. Are there any games in particular that got you to the
cup final? Winning the cup, winning the. And there's great footage. Actually, we had a night just about probably 3 or 4 weeks ago where it was the 10th, can you believe that? 10th year anniversary as winning the League Cup final. The worst game in the world, 9-each. We won in penalties against Inverness, if you remember it. And they had a wee night to celebrate it. And again, I met Dale and Robbo and all the boys that were there. And that was special. That was brilliant. That was absolutely brilliant. And there's footage I can remember, because if you remember, it went to penalties. And there's footage I never watched penalties. I don't know why I've had that thing. And when it's Rooney's penalty to win the cup, I'm staring. Penalties happen there and I'm staring that way. But Dale's kind of staring over my shoulder. And obviously he sees it goes in and he just grabs me and he proper whiplashes me. and that shows you what, but the celebrations for that, you probably heard about it. The bus journey up the road was just
carnage.
That was brilliant. You've probably heard the stories, but it was.
No, I think I have.
Well, it was the day before again, we'd done the vote, I think it was, or Robson had been fined. That's what it was. Robson had been fined, but he also got the vote. So on the way up, because it was so busy, because if you remember that cup final, there was 45, maybe 1,000. That cup final, it was all Aberdeen fans, you know, so it was a Parkhead. Uh-huh. So it was mobbed. And the way up the road, all the roads were dinged off and all that. And so the bus took us into an Asda or something like that. And anyway, Robbo, it was his job to get the drinks. So he's cup final team, just won a cup final. He's walking through the aisles at Asda, whatever it was, and the boys are just bang, 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 bang. And because of the traffic, it took us 5 hours, I think it was 4 or 5 hours. To get up to Aberdeen from Celtic Park. So a bus full of heavy, all the boys, just won a cup final. Nobody else, just the boys. It's the best party you've ever had. And I had the mic at the front and everybody took their turn doing a sing song in it. So that was probably one of the best experiences we had.
That's brilliant. Craig Brown was there at the time. He was in the SFA when you were early on. Did you learn a lot of him?
Huge. There's a huge inspiration to me, Craig. Probably one of the biggest, to be honest.
Is he really talking?
Aye.
In terms of what, did he take you under his wing, like?
Aye, very much. Because at that period,
for mindset or for coaching?
No, a bit of both. No, for the because as you know, when I stopped playing relatively early, and when I went into the SFA, it was one of the ones you had to sign a form to say you were stopping playing, you were committing to the coaching. So I went into the technical department alongside it was Eric Black, Jimmy Sinclair, Tam Wilson. Anyway, all these boys, but Craig was the technical. Craig had a dual role at the time. He was a national team manager and he was a technical department director.
Right.
And at that time I went there, that was 91st, it was Euro 96 and France 98. So the national team were hugely successful and Craig was that. And as I say, he obviously headhunted me and brought me into the technical department. And that's probably, that is where my coaching journey started. And Craig was way, way, way ahead of his time.
In terms of what, like sessions?
Well, I tell you what, I remember going up, it was Park Gardens. I remember going up one night, a Friday night or something, because I used to deliver a lot of courses, all that kind of stuff. Going up one night late, it was 7 or 8 o'clock on the Friday night, and the lights were still on. And there was wee Craig through in the room with the two, and basically what he was doing was analysis before anybody. He had the two TV screens and he was editing the videos and all that kind of stuff. And like way, way, way ahead, way, way, way ahead of his time. And it just, at that time, you know, for Scotland to be at the level it was at with McCoist and all that, and Colin Hennon, he was a manager. He was brilliant. And he did, there's no doubt, he did take me a bit under his wing, do you know what I mean? And when I got into the technical department, that's when my coaching journey really started. And he was always chats with me about how that's when I went to Falkirk, because I felt as if I needed to get into club football, and then it just went from there, Falkirk to Dundee United. But Craig was always there, and he was a huge, huge inspiration at Aberdeen, obviously.
Yeah.
You know, when we went to Aberdeen, he was there as a, well, him and Archie had the job, we took over for them. And they allowed us to have the last five games, if you remember that.
Yeah.
Top six, they hadn't made the top six, but they let me and Derek come in. Archie and Craig still took the team, but, you know, we were watching the team in preparation for the next season. And he's just always been there, Craig. Do you know what I mean? He's always, and even when we took over the job, he went up to director, but always there, you know, and always.
For his advice.
Always there. And Craig was a huge inspiration. And aye, you miss him.
Archie Knox is my Scotland under-19 manager.
I've seen Archie the other day there. Some of the stories, because Eric's always a good partner, Eric Black. Some of the, and Simi, Neil Simpson, some of the stories they tell about him, Jesus. You just couldn't get away with it now. But some of the things, he used to terrorise them, but they loved him. They absolutely loved him. But he terrorised the boys,
terrorised them.
I seen him the other day, actually. He was out at the golf, he's looking well. He was out at Chris Boy's golf day the other day.
Oh, good. First game I played, I know he came up to me, somebody told me you were a good player. He says, I'll never trust him again, he's a lying bastard. Oh, fuck's sake.
But that would endear him right away, wouldn't it?
Oh, 100%.
You should talk to him, see these boys that, like back in the days when he was Fergie's assistant, some of the stories they've got about him, Jesus.
Did Fergie ever come and see you and Dale when you were at Aberdeen?
He was close with Dale. He came a few times, but never to see me. I'd say, hello, Mr. Ferguson, blah, blah, blah. But he had a good relationship with Dale.
Did you know, he?
They kept in touch, and I seen him a few times, but it was always just a
brilliant. Nah. What about the best advice you've ever? What about the best advice you've ever received? Stick to coaching management if you could.
Hang your boots up, aye.
Sign that form.
You were born to coach, aye. Basically, Just be brave and take your opportunities. You know what I mean? I don't think there's one thing, you know what I mean, but I think you take advice. As I said to you earlier on, the big thing to me, we've spoke a lot about Derek and about people that you've worked with and people that you take things from, but there's been a lot of people. Gordon, Craig, worked with Craig Levine for quite a bit as well.
Is he good, Levine?
I thought he was brilliant in the period he worked with at Dundee United. Really
successful
good,
at Dundee United, really
don't he? Aye. Ian McCall, Gordon Chisholm, Owen Coyle, boys like that. So I think you take wee bits for everybody rather than just there's your one piece of advice, and you just kind of tailor it around about what you're. I think you need to remember, for me loads, it's about personality, and I think the biggest best advice I've had is just be yourself. Mm. You know what I mean, if you've got the personality to be that, then be it.
Mm-hmm. What about in terms of he's saying about football's changed for you when you started, what about a player now, how different? They're not as lively as what they were back with Yogi and Owen Coyle and that, are they?
It's different now, it's different, you know, because, well, one thing, you know, in terms of the sports science and all that, you need to be as fit as you can be all the time. So then the days are, I mean, there's last week, for example, when I, just with the wee break in between, I'm always big on that, and I've always been, again, with Derek's influence, I've always been big on seeing any opportunities you can get, have a team day out, you know, and it's golf for me. I love getting the boys out for golf. But so even back in the days with the Jodies and all that, even back, what was that, 10 years, however long ago that was, you knew it would be a day out and then they'd have a proper. I don't think you get that anymore. I'm sitting with the boys over at Drumoygan, we've had a good day, really good day's golf and all that, but they're all sitting on the coffee and that, and it's great. It's great, but it's just
a pint. Fuck's sake.
But it's just not what it was, because the demands of being a footballer now are probably, you know, they're running 13k every game, and you can't do that. You can't do that if you come back for pre-season the way you used to come back, you know what I mean?
Oh, disgrace.
So, you can't go to Fat Sam's Thursday, Friday night and play on a Saturday.
I'll tell you something, Joe Dot. If you were hanging about that Wonderband Glasgow on a Saturday night, you'd get a shock. Get a shock.
I don't know who you're talking about, but leave it at that.
You say about the golf days, and you mentioned the Aberdeen boys. Like, I know for a fact you're still tight with, like, Jack, Shinny.
Aye.
All the boys. Like, so is that just that Aberdeen team, or have you got other players that you've coached that you still keep in touch with?
No, do you know what? It goes way, way, way back. Does you know, it? Aye, way back. I remember my first youth team was, I still keep in touch with a lot of their boys. So I think it's all about relationships. And if you build relationships with players, proper relationships, it'll be relationships forever. So I think every team you've went with, you know, you go through, even going back, you speak with Jody a lot for, you know, Pizzo, you know, boys like that. You know, so
he's doing well, mate.
Doing great, and proud, you know what I mean, that he's at his personality, you know what I mean, used his personality to the max, you know, and it's whatever side or industry you want to go into, be yourself. He's as an example of that. But no, I think if you establish relationships with whoever, you keep, if they're good relationships, you keep them.
It's the boy Logan as well. He's always got you on his Instagram.
He's a belter.
Was he to manage, coach?
Brilliant. Brilliant.
I played against him when he was at Brentford, mate. He's a good player as well.
Top boy. You couldn't give him a brass knight with a blowtorch. He was just top draw. And he's another one, you know, he'll phone up and I think he was winning a game of golf last week and you'll just meet up and you're just there with him again, do you know what I mean? Great boy. But there's loads of that. Big McKenna was up the other week here just before he went on his loan. And with a game of golf and all that as well. So Kenny McLean. It's funny actually, because Kenny McLean now, like, he's good pals with John McCracken, for example. You know,
right,
I mean?
The goalie.
But Crack's a young boy, so he's got Kenny. Kenny's a Norwich captain. But I knew Kenny when he just came to St. Martin. I can tell Crack some stories about Kenny.
Being right behind the ears, isn't it?
Back in the day, but which he would never believe because his Kenny's status to him, not that he's no state, he was always a brilliant player, but he was just making his way, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
When I knew wee Jacko and all, do you know what I mean? And boys like that.
Jack was brilliant for his, wasn't he?
Brilliant.
And when we played against his Jack, I always thought Jack was the best player.
Top player.
Could you tell he'd go and do what he's went and done at Rangers?
Aye.
Injuries have kind of killed him
a wee bit, but Jacko was the other one. Jacko had a brilliant competitive side to him. It was technically outstanding, but he had that real competitive side to him as well, you know. He was a winner, you know what I mean? Remember the game, him and wee Willow?
We were hammering
talk. Oh, it was brilliant. That was brilliant. And that was up.
Are you standing on the side? What? Obviously, you're standing on the side.
Well, sometimes you see a wee bit of handbags. You see it, that was a proper.
Is this in training or in an actual game?
Oh, no, it was a game. We were playing something at Pitodri, and the two of them proper. And I remember I had to. Dale says to me, you better hurry up and get in before they get to the dressing room. So I had to try to get down the tunnel before they got there. And that was a good one. That was a proper one. But two boys that were the most competitive boys in the world. But. Then it's all forgotten, do you know what I mean? They just want to win for their team.
Yeah, can Dale go in the dressing room, Doc? Can Dale crack?
Okay, I think every manager can. I think every manager's got a tolerance level,
Who'd be the scariest that you've worked with? Levine's meant to be bad.
There you go.
Is it bad, is it?
There you go.
I can imagine. See, the Aberdeen team, were you just unlucky he's came up against that Brendan Rodgers Celtic team?
Aye, I think, you know, and
he's done so well, mate, didn't you?
Aye.
Many finals.
I don't know. Somebody asked me. I think it was four or five. I don't know. But the biggest kind of heartbreak one was the Rogic.
Last minute.
You know,
did you think you had them at that stage?
Aye.
Because you were attacking, weren't you? Towards the end.
Yeah. And
it's a great chance. You said somebody should have squared it,
Johnny,
maybe.
Wee Johnny. Bruni, to be fair, Bruni got back and done absolutely brilliant for them. But I think Johnny squared it too. Was it Kenny Maxfield? I don't know. I'm terrible for remembering things. But I remember just remembering. It was Johnny. Johnny Hayes was through and go 1-1 and Bruni got back and made a. And then they scored. Kids, I never seen it coming. Do you know what I mean? I never thought. I thought at the very least it was going to penalties.
Mm.
And then just at that. And that was because that was a culmination. That team that Derry had kind of assembled, that was just coming to an end because a lot of players leaving. You had Jackals and Kenny McLean. There was a lot of players leaving Ryan Christie at that time. And that would have been fitting to finish winning that cup final and just for it to be taken away with you. But listen, that's professional sport, that's the nature of the game.
See Adam Rooney's assistant manager now doing it at Hereford.
Aye, you see that, he's on the phone today. He's doing something as well with pre-season trips and that. But he was at the Do a couple of weeks ago there. Good catching up with him, he's a good boy, great lad. He's another one, he gets so much out of his career for the hard
work. He can't control the ball, mate. I can't believe he's done what he's done. I played him at Swindon, mate.
Him in a box, murder.
But kicks it with his shin, mate, passes it with his shin.
But 6 yards ago. But he was that team when Johnny and Niall providing the service, he was just bang goal. Brilliant the way he did.
How was Johnny Hayes as a guy?
Brilliant wee guy.
Is he?
Wee guy. Aye. I can't understand what he says, but I think he's a good wee guy, but I don't know.
He came to one of the Hydro shows, mate, to see what he said. He came backstage after, but
did you understand him?
Johnny, I genuinely can't understand the fucking word just
saying. Him and Rooney and McGinn used to get together and have conversations. You would just walk out and go, oh fuck that, I'm not going.
Did you know he had the wheel as well at Aberdeen?
That's right. Spin the wheel. That's right, that was good.
Somebody's told the story on here. I think it was Shinny that told the story about the doing a job in somebody's cakes. You heard that one?
That was
Wes Burns.
Oh, brilliant. Well, I don't need to tell the story, but I remember the day that Wes Burns told all the boys about it, and the boys were like, did you give that to your neighbour, wasn't it?
I gave the neighbour
gave it to the neighbour. Because the boys didn't know until that very day when they're sitting around the pool, and it was a pre-January trip in Dubai. They actually didn't know what had happened, and Wes said, I remember that, I gave that off.
Incredible. It's one of the best stories that's been told. Bristol City, you went down south for a bit. How'd you look back on your time there? It was a tough league of championship.
I loved it. Yeah, it was tough. But when we went down there, I think they were second bottom. Derek will know better. They were second bottom, but they were miles away from the playoff, you know, getting out of that playoff position. And we ended up, I think we had a couple of games to go. I remember we beat Notts Forest at City Ground, and that kept it up. And then the next game we had, I think it was three or four games to go, and we kept them up. I remember Derek get carried, it was a pitch invasion, Derek get carried over his shoulders and all that. And then the next season started and a couple of things kind of changed and all that. But no, I loved the experience. I loved the experience of playing big teams, big stadiums. And I think, you know, it was a relatively successful time. You know what I mean? Yeah. They never got relegated under us. You know what I mean? We kept them up in a hungry position. But it was a brilliant experience just to go down there and see big stadiums, training grounds and all that, and it helped in terms of your development as well, I think.
Yeah. Just lastly, on this season, like we said, you cemented top six away at Aberdeen. Was it a wee bit special today at Aberdeen, or does that not even really come in?
Didn't really come into it, to be honest. It was just about the group of boys, and as I say, ticking off all our objectives, and that was, you know, to go for being in a position where we kept us up. And I think the more the season went on, the more we're thinking, you know what, we're doing alright here, we're matching. I'd say to the boys at the start of the season, what I wanted is to be was competitive in every fixture, and I think we've been that, bar the two anomalies we've had this season, one at Celtic Park, one at home to Rangers. There's reasons for that.
That was when Lammers scored, wasn't it?
Aye, but if you remember that game, you know that they were around 45 minutes late, there was all the pyro thing and all that. And anyway, out with the two matches, I think we've been really competitive in all the games, and just the more it's gone on, and your objective is to stay in the league. But when you realise, you know, you're winning games and you're doing well and players are getting better, improving, teams getting better, you think, you know what, there's maybe, let's have a wee, can we do top six?
Yeah.
And then when you tick that off, and that's why it was such a big thing for the boys. I think you've seen the way we celebrated. Some people are getting as pelters, like, I think you won the Champions League. But for that group of boys, to have assembled a group of boys, when you've only set three signed players, you need to bring in your staff, all the stuff you need to deal with to get that day when you get yourself into top six, it's a huge amount of satisfaction you take for that, and pride, do you know what I mean? And testament to the players, how I know how hard they've worked on a daily basis. So for them to get that reward for what they did, it was brilliant. It was a really, really good feeling, and just enjoyable to kind of take it on.
Just quickly on that, is it anomaly you said? I'm not anomaly. As clever as you. Is it anomaly?
Well, anomaly.
Is that the two bad ones?
Aye, two bad ones.
Right, we'll call it the two bad ones. How did how did that?
That was Craig Green. Craig Green gave you.
Is that his thing? How did that differ as in being an assistant and getting beat like that to now being the manager? How did you find that when you went home at night? Was it a lot different?
Murder. Awful. Because the buck stops with you. Yeah. You take all the responsibility of that, and you do. You need to shoulder that. You know, as much as you enjoy the good things, you need to shoulder the bad times as well. You know, and then you just analyse and you think everything you did that contributed towards that bad experience. But listen, I suppose it's part of the process, you know. You need to go through that, you know, and as I say, I'm only a year, just my first year of management, so hopefully all these things shape you and make you become a better manager, you know what I mean? So aye, but it's trust me, there's no wink slept that night or the next night. But
and are you good at just leaving it in the back of your mind, or does it affect you in terms of the missus and the kids?
That's a hard bit, but I mean they've been so brilliant, absolutely brilliant, and they knew they had, you know, me coming into management. There has been a lot of that, you know, but I think sometimes the best thing is getting back into your work.
Yeah.
That's the only cure. I mean, again, remember Derek used to say that. That's the hangover is after the game and that night and trying to get through it. So, you know, you're a manager now.
Yeah.
Go through, what could I done better? What could I got better? The cure's when you come in and you get in with your group, particularly if you go to a group like this, because you kind of try and you solve it together, and that's the cure for your hangover. So that's what I think. As quick as you can, and I think that's why a lot of managers, maybe whether it's right or not, bring players in the next day. It's not necessarily, you don't want to punish
it.
You don't want to punish your players, but you want to. I always think, and again, it's something I got for Derek, that is, you know, as soon as you've had a bad result like that, you know, you want to go in so that the next, you know, the way you feel coming into the building, you want to make sure when you leave the building you're feeling better and you're ready for your next game.
See, just on you, just last, this is the last bit, but I'm just quite interested, when you said there was a stage where you thought we could maybe do this, can you remember like a game or a performance where you thought, fuck, we had a right good team here?
I do remember one that springs to mind. I do remember we played St Mirren, and St Mirren at the time were third. This was early on in the season,
right.
St Mirren were third in the league, and we won 4-0 at home, and the performance level was through the roof, you know what I mean? And I also remember actually a game we never won down at Motherwell. We ended up drawing it, three each. They scored, I don't know if you remember, they scored in the last minute. We had a lot of games like that, but the performance level, I thought, these boys are, do you know what I mean? And it just, you see levels of improvement all the time. So they had a couple instances, but it's not even, yeah, of course it's the games and you see them competing against other teams, but it's watching them on a daily basis and seeing that development. And you, for example, your Luke McCowan's, Lyle Callan's, boys like that, that's when you go, you know, this is a proper set of players. Even just this morning with an 11v11 this morning, and you know, this is a Wednesday, we're off the Thursday, so you like to get a look at things in your 11v11, and the standard of the game was just wow, just brilliant. Brilliant. And I've just seen that happening over the season. You know, it's getting better and better and better, and just at the right time, probably. You know, we're coming into these run of games where the level of improvement, there's been a level of consistency, but there's been a level of improvement with the group of players. But again, testament to them, that's down to hard work. That doesn't happen, that, you know, that doesn't just happen. You need to work at that.
And how did you celebrate? Obviously you said you went a bit mad in the dressing room. Did you take the boys out the next day, or back in the training?
No, do you know what, my brother was at the game, my brother and his wife, and they came back to mine and brought it ferry. So I actually quite enjoyed it. It was just myself, my wife, the kids, and my brother and his wife. And it was, don't get me wrong, it's every time there's a kind of docket to get together, there's a guitars and pianos and blah blah blah, that kind of stuff. Oh, aye mate.
Damn
aye,
it.
Aye. A bit of piano. But
damn.
Just a wee bit.
Incredible.
No great. But no, it was just nice to kind of enjoy it like that. So it was a late night, but it wasn't anything.
What's your go-to song?
The Wanderer.
The Wanderer? Because I'm a wanderer.
There you go.
When did you
the Aberdeen boys will cane me about that, because that was the song I sung that.
In your initiation?
That's not an issue, but getting up in the bus after that League Cup final one, when it came round to me, see when you were saying go-to, so it was the only song I thought, this is the only one, because I remember my dad used to sing, this is the only one I can remember all the words to, so I belted out The Wanderer. Yeah, Adam Rooney's and all that. I'm like, who?
The fuck's that?
They were all singing The Killers, and I'm singing The Wanderer.
Old school. Just last time, what's the ambitions for the rest of the season? Obviously, try to get that fifth spot.
Well, again, now we've ticked off a lot of objectives. We've ticked off staying up. We've ticked off 10 clean sheets, 10 wins. We've ticked off top six. There is now, you know, an opportunity, you know, to possibly with the results at the weekend. There's a European spot in fifth, and listen, knowing that group of players, knowing the way we are the new, that's another realistic objective. But listen, St Mirren have had a brilliant season as well. They'll be thinking the same. So it's game on now, and it's hopefully, if we can keep going the way that we're going, because I think we're in an upward trajectory at the moment, then we've got a realistic chance of doing that. But I'm experienced and wise enough to know St Mirren are the same, you know. So but it'll be really competitive to the end of the season, and I look forward to that challenge ahead of us.
And are you enjoying it as much as you thought you would?
Probably more.
Aye,
probably more. Aye. Probably more. As I say to you, I can't wait to get into my work every day. You're excited coming into your work. And I hope that as long as that remains, and as long as I've got somebody that gave me the best piece of advice you said earlier on was make sure, I'll not tell you who it was, but it just said to me, make sure you make two things. Make sure you make time for your family and have the energy for the job. And I feel that my energy's through the roof, and I hope that continues for a long time.
Tony Dock, what a man.
Thanks
so
mate.
Much.
Cheers. Appreciate Cheers. That. Thanks, mate.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend. Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.